Okay? So, let's talk about the free will issue. Because the reason why God did this was to establish free will. That God had a purpose. He wasn't just doing this willy-nilly. God did this for a reason. He wanted to establish free will. God is a family man. God is a father. God understands family. More than anybody here, God understands family. And God desires family more than anybody here. Our desires and need and passion for family come from Him. Because we're made in His image. We want family. We want family. People who don't want family are damaged. They're damaged. Because God wants family. God is a father. And a father doesn't want forced love. I guarantee you, I am a dad. I get no joy out of making my kids do things. Now, I do make them do some things because it's my job as a father. But I get no joy. I get no pleasure out of making my parents here. Can you testify to that? I get no joy out of forcing my children to do anything. And I certainly get no joy trying to make my kids love me. I think one of the greatest moments of my life as a father was shortly after my oldest daughter got her cell phone, and I overheard her talking to somebody on the cell phone, and she was talking about me, and she didn't know that I was there. She didn't know I could hear her. And I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was bragging on me to somebody on the other end of that phone. And you know, I can't even describe to you how that felt. That my daughter would be bragging on me to somebody else when she didn't even know I was here, when she didn't even know I was around. It just made my heart swell up, feel like it was going to explode, you know? And that's what God wanted. God wanted a family. God didn't want robots. He didn't want slaves. He didn't want servants. He wanted sons and daughters. He wanted a family. Therefore, He had to give man free will. He had to allow us to choose to love Him. Can everybody see that? And He doesn't want to make you do that. If you don't want to love Him, you don't have to. You don't have to. He's not going to make you. So God wanted man to have a choice. However, in order for there to be a choice, there has to be a law. In order for there to be a choice, there has to be a law. Romans 4:15. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Where no law is, there is no transgression. See, if there is no law, then there's no choice. A law produces choice. If I don't tell you to do anything, then you have no choice to make. If I don't tell you not to do anything, there's no choice to make. But if I tell you to do something or not to do something, I've just given you a choice. Isn't that true? You have a choice to obey me or not. Without a law, there is no choice. So God gave Adam one law. Genesis chapter 2. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God gave Adam a choice. God gave him one command, one law. one thing to choose. You know, sometimes I thought to myself, well, I wish I could be in his shoes. Could have saved everybody a whole lot of trouble, but guess what? I'd have done the same thing. We know we all would have because we all came out of him. There's only one person that didn't. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Choosing to transgress or disobey the law is what is called sin. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. The consequence of sin is what? Death. We're all well versed in that. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. James 1:15 says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This concept, and we've all been taught this, most everybody in Christianity, in Christendom today, is pretty well versed in this. This concept, they might not call it this, what I'm going to call it right now, but they understand what I just described. But the Bible calls this concept the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. This is a law. It's a spiritual law. It's at work in the earth today. And it is the law of God that empowers or gives strength to the law of sin and death. That is, it is the law of God that gives sin and death their legal right to operate on this planet. First Corinthians says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. I don't have it here, but actually I think it might be down later, but there's a verse that says, without the law, sin is dead. See, because if there is no law, there is no sin. But when there is law, then there can be sin because there's an opportunity for a choice. There's an opportunity to disobey. So sin gets its power from the law. Because the law worketh wrath or puts to work the curse, which is death and everything attached to death. Poverty, sickness, hurt, pain, depression, everything negative is a part of the curse. Romans 7:5 says, now remember, we're talking about how the law of sin and death works. It says, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Again, we're talking about the power that sin gets from the law. The authority, really, would be a more proper word, that sin gets from the law to enforce death on us when we disobey it. Sin places one under the authority of the law of sin and death, because whosoever commits sin becomes the servant of sin. Now this is a spiritual law and it explains what happened to Adam. Whoever commits sin becomes the servant of sin. John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And in Romans 6:16, Paul said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, again, the law of sin and death, or of obedience unto righteousness. See, when Adam, I want to go back to Adam now, when Adam chose to disobey God, what he did was empower he committed sin, and he empowered the law of sin and death to kill him. That's what he did. He empowered it to kill him, to bring the curse on him. However, and I don't think this is brought up often enough, so I really want to stop here for a second on this. Adam, in effect, changed families. He changed his family allegiance. See, Adam was created to be a son. It's not as simple as Adam giving authority on this planet to the devil, because Adam really didn't have the power to do that. Now, I've heard that preached before, but Adam really didn't have that power. All right? The power that God gave to Adam remains in Adam. The authority that God gave to Adam, gave to man, remains in man. Adam didn't give his authority over the earth to Satan. Adam gave Satan authority over him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me phrase that a different way. Adam was created to be a son of God. Now, no matter what Adam did, he wasn't going to quit being a son. See, he changed his sonship, is what he did. When he disobeyed God and he listened to the devil, he made the devil his father and locked God out of the earth. That's what he did. But he didn't give Satan by default all of mankind's authority. He didn't have the authority to do that, because God's word gave it to man. Adam couldn't sublease this earth to Satan. He didn't have that kind of authority. He had authority over the earth, but he didn't have authority to transfer the lease. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So, it's not as simple as saying that Adam gave Satan authority over this earth. It's not that simple. All right? What Adam did was give Satan authority over Adam. Adam still had authority over this earth. See, the devil can't just kill and destroy indiscriminately. If he could, he'd have killed Adam right then and there. There'd have been no Abel, there'd have been no Cain, there'd have been no Seth, and there'd have been no you and me, and there would have been no Jesus. So Adam wasn't able to sublet this earth to Satan. All he was able to do was change his allegiance from God to Satan. Everybody follow me? That's why Satan still has to work through us in order to affect things on this planet. Satan still has to work through a man in order to do things on this planet. See, Satan doesn't appear down here and lead armies killing the Jewish, trying to kill the Jewish nation. Hitler did that, a man. Satan didn't come down here and create the Soviet Union and exterminate 22 million people. No, Stalin did that, a man. Men have authority on this planet. As men with authority, or women with authority on this planet, we yield ourselves either to God or Satan and give them power. Is everybody with me? In John 8:44, Jesus said this, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it." See, Adam changed his family. He listened to Satan and locked God out. He listened to Satan and locked God out. What do you listen to? You listen to words, right? I'll get back to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get back to that in just a minute. So Adam sinned. Adam died. He didn't die immediately in the flesh, but he did die immediately in the spirit, because he was separated from the Father. The presence of God left him. And, of course, that death was then passed to all of us. Now, if you understand this concept of family, then you understand how it was passed to us. It had to, because family membership is an inheritance that is passed on from one generation to the next. My dad was a Branstrom. My dad's dad was a Brandstrom. My dad's dad's dad was a Brandstrom. And so on and so forth. There's nothing I can do about that. Isn't that right? Adam changed dads. Started a new family. Now we're all born in that family. Everybody understand that? It's because family membership is inherited. There's no way around that. That's a natural law. Romans 5 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By one man's offense, death reigned by one. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And therefore sin hath reigned unto death." Therefore, it would be legitimate to ask ourselves, is sin and death reigned on earth after Adam's choice? Who is administering them? And here's where I've laid the groundwork, and I'm fixing to tackle our first major tradition. So, everybody hold on tight, because it might be one of yours. I don't want to step on no toes, but I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm here to tell you the truth tonight. Who is administering death? Who has the power of death? Who is executing the curse upon those who have come under its authority? Is God doing it? Is God killing people? Is God making people sick? Is God causing someone to hurt a child? No. Well, I'm preaching to the choir here. You know, there are many Christians out there. There are theological strains of belief that are quite predominant in some of the mainline churches that believe that. I had a lady, you know, we had a, when Hurricane Irene was coming up through the Atlantic here. How many of y'all heard about that a couple weeks ago? There was a group of us on Christian forums that started praying over that storm. We started speaking to it in our thread, you know, and commanding it to weaken and go on out to the Atlantic and die. And some other Christians on the boards got really upset with us, said, "Who do you think you are?" They got really mad. Some of us accused us of trying to be like God, saying we were trying to be like. I said, "I am trying to be like God." I didn't really want to say no. I'm not. I mean, yeah. I know it's pretty funny, yeah. But there are some Christians who are really, 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 really invested in that belief, and they'll get mad at you. They'll get mad at you if they could get away with it. They'd stone you. I had one lady, she posted and she said, "I don't even understand it." She said, "I don't even understand it. If a storm comes, you know it's got to be God's will. Who are you to fight against God?" I thought, wow, we sure look at things different, because that's not my God. So who has the power of death? Who's administering the curse? John 10:10. Come on, y'all read it with me because y'all know it. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Amen. See, our church is even called Abundant Life. I like that. I like that. Who's the thief? That's right. Hebrews 2:14. So you guys don't even need me up here. Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," talking about Jesus, "took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is, the devil. Who has the power, or who had the power of death? I can't hear you. The devil had the power of death. not God. God's not out to kill nobody. God's out trying to bless you. God's trying to give you life. God's trying to help you, not hurt you. You see, Adam was created to walk in the blessings of God. That's what he was created for. That's what mankind was created for. And he was created to walk in those blessings through faith. Now, everybody knows how faith comes, right? Faith cometh by and hearing by the word of God. See, God, for whatever reason, has chosen one way to fellowship with mankind. One way. And that's through his word. One way. Someone said, yeah, but what about the Spirit? Well, yeah, sure, the Spirit, but the Spirit reveals what? The word. Someone said, yeah, Brother Dan, but what about creation? The creation speaks about the glory of God. That's right. But what brought the creation about? The word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Who was Jesus? The Word. God fellowships with man through one avenue, and that's his Word. And that isn't new. That isn't something that started with the cross. That isn't something that started with the Abrahamic covenant. That isn't something that started with Noah. This was started in the Garden of Eden with Adam. Do you notice? This hit me one time. Just struck me and it amazed me when I realized it. Genesis does not describe a personified God walking in the garden with Adam. In Genesis 3:8, it tells you what was in the garden with Adam. They heard the voice of the Lord God. Everybody say, voice of the Lord God. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. See, it's always been the Word. It's always been the Word. Adam was supposed to walk in fellowship with the voice of God, with the Word of God, and to believe and receive what that voice was telling him, to walk in the blessings of God. That's what Adam was called to do, and that's how Adam was called to operate, by faith, because faith comes from hearing and receiving God's Word. And I'm going to wrap this up here. When Adam sinned and changed spiritual fathers, he began to operate in something else. And it's called fear. He began to operate in something else, and it's called fear. See, faith believes and receives the blessings of God. Fear believes and receives the curse. Adam was created a son, created to operate in faith, listening to the voice of God. He changed spiritual fathers and instead became a son of Satan, listening to his lies and operating in fear. Fear does the same thing that faith does, but in reverse. It brings to pass bad things in your life, death and everything associated with it. Genesis 3, 9 and 10. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now this is what happened right after Adam sinned. Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice, there's voice again, in the garden, and I was afraid. Everybody say, I was afraid. I was afraid. See, his faith was turned into fear. And our last scripture, disobedience creates shame and fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is believing that the curses will come upon you, even to death. That fear is what gives Satan the ability to place us in bondage and to execute the curse upon us. Hebrews 2:15 says, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear of death. Now, everybody pay attention for one last moment here. All right? I'm going to show you something in this verse. This isn't fear of dying, primarily, that this verse is referring to. This is fear of death. That is the fear that comes from death. What is death? Separation from God. Separation from God's word. Separation from God's blessing. See, most of us don't walk through life in a constant state of fear of dying. Not consciously. It's as you get older, it becomes more prominent. You think about it more. But we don't normally go around thinking that. But what we do go around in, we walk throughout our life in the fear of death, the fear that comes from death, the fear that comes from being in a state of separation from the life of God. We walk in that fear all the time. It's called worry. It's called worry. It's one of the things that faith can counteract. It's one of the things that we are called to overcome.